Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
NFL draft tomorrow. I can hardly contain myself. Former NFL cornerback, 8-year vet Stanford Rout joins us right now. Speaking of cornerbacks, speaking of the draft, let's take another trip down memory lane. We just heard from Aqib Talib, the best draft day interview of all time. There's not even a close second. We're going to go back to the year 1989. 30 years ago, Deion Sanders, after the Atlanta Falcons selected him.
Wearing your signing bonus here. I mean, you know, plus we can see the nice primetime logo already, or what?
Yeah, we got sweatsuits started, jackets started, everything. We got it going on here. Everybody got on jewelry. Even the baby got a little something. We're ready now.
Even the baby has jewelry. Your feelings about going to Atlanta, no doubt it was your first preference.
Definitely. Atlanta or Tampa Bay. And Atlanta chose me, and I'm very pleased with that decision. I can't wait to get to town with Coach Campbell and get with them fans down there and pack them in there.
When Detroit took the other Sanders, I saw a big grin come across your face.
Man, I was so happy. I was kind of scared. I thought Detroit was going to take me. I would have asked for so much money that I had to put me on layaway.
On layaway, huh? No baseball's leverage there, huh?
No.
Deion Sanders. Prime time.
Asked for so much money that I had to put me on a layaway. That's so good. That's awesome. My favorite is still, was it Tobin talking about Mel Kiper when Mel Kiper ripped him?
Oh, yeah, talking about because he didn't draft Trent Dilfer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mel Kiper and him. He said, what does Mel Kiper know?
Who is that guy?
Yeah, it was Mel Kiper. Yeah, I remember that one. That was about them not drafting Trent Dilfer.
Mm-hmm. Which, I guess. No, Dilfer was good, man.
Whatever. Kansas City Chiefs, they made a big move yesterday, Stanford. They acquired Clark from the Seahawks in exchange for a first-round pick this year, a second-round pick next year, and they swapped third-round picks. Frank Clark, what did you think of this move? How much better does this make the Kansas City Chiefs? Given the fact that they lost Dee Ford and Justin Houston, does it not make them that much better? What were your thoughts when you heard this news?
I got to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to make them astronomically better because, mm-hmm. yes, obviously Frank Clark is a good player. He's averaged about, 10, 11 sacks over the last three seasons, coming second-round pick coming out of Michigan. But they had a Pro Bowl rush-in linebacker in Dee Ford just last year. They had Justin Houston just last year. So exactly how much more production are they going to get out of Frank Clark versus what they got out of Dee Ford and Justin Houston? And I don't think it's going to be enough to the point to where this contract is actually going to make sense for them going down the road.
I thought they said, though, that they were going to use him more in 4-3 situations because he's better in 4-3. So it would help him in that regard.
Yes.
In terms of, scheme, whereas some of these other guys wouldn't fit necessarily a 4-3 as well as Frank Clark would. I think that's Jadeveon Clowney, too. He should fit better in a 4-3.
Yeah, I think Jadeveon's obviously going to be his bread and butter is hand in the dirt, 4-3 defensive end. As far as going back to Frank Clark, I'm not saying that he's not a good player, and definitely I'm all for every player in this league getting as much money as they can. But from the Kansas City Chiefs standpoint, from a fan base, I don't think that they're going to see enough of a difference out of Frank Clark to actually look at this contract signing like it was a success after the departure of Justin Houston and a Dee Ford. Yes, albeit they were more so 3-4 outside linebackers.
Yeah.
They're now going to a 4-3 with Steve Spagnuolo. So, yeah, I get it from that standpoint. But from a fan perspective, all they see is, did you have 15 sacks last year? That's all they really care about. And did this team get over the hump and actually make it to the Super Bowl? And I don't think that there's going to be enough of that for fans to look at this like it was a good thing.
And this is also, as we talk about quarterbacks on their rookie deal, Russell Wilson wasn't on his rookie deal, but he just became the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And this is why when quarterbacks aren't making the elite money like Russell Wilson is making right now, this is the consequence that comes with it. You can't keep everybody. And also you lose guys like Frank Clark. You lose the guys. So that's why we talk about this window with Deshaun Watson, and that's what we're talking about. I want to stick with the Chiefs a little bit. Stanford Rout joining In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. The Johnson County District Attorney out there in Missouri released a statement. Apparently today at 3:00, there'll be a press conference regarding the criminal investigation involving Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill and his fiance slash baby mama. It's going to be held in the fourth floor conference room. Don't know why I added that part to it. But the point is this. Tyreek Hill's under investigation in the NFL. They took away his kid for a little bit. And it should also be noted, this is the kid that his fiance that they mentioned was pregnant with when he punched her when he was in college. So it just doesn't, it seems like somewhat of a tumultuous relationship. But Tyreek Hill, let's just assume that, and we're not speculating or anything as to what happened, but just how important is Tyreek Hill, assuming that he does miss some time? When we look at that Chiefs offense, we always like to talk about Pat Mahomes, but how important is Tyreek Hill to what they do in Kansas City?
Oh, I think he's paramount to what they do in Kansas City, simply because it keeps that safety back deep. It keeps both safeties back deep in cover two, because that right there is your home run threat. That's your Bryce Harper. That's your Albert Pujols. So anytime that you take a guy like that out of the equation, now defensive backs can more so sit on routes. They don't have to always worry about you beating them over the top. The safety can go ahead and bite down a little bit more on the play action, things like that. So not having a Tyreek Hill in the fold is definitely going to slow down that offense. Look what happened with Will Fuller when he got injured. Look what happened to the Houston Texans offense. So I do think that the Kansas City Chiefs, with Pat Mahomes, with all the weapons that they still have, I do think that they're still going to obviously be a prolific offense, but it's not going to be as potent. It's not going to be as explosive not having a Tyreek Hill if he winds up not being there.
And also, it just seems like even when he doesn't get the rock, man, like they're putting him in motion, they're faking it to him, and when he's going in motion, you see the whole defense, even the guys who aren't following. You see that little nudge that you see from the guys that aren't even responsible for him. You know where the hell he's at.
Yes, because he's truly like a cheetah out there on the football field, and no matter who it is, no matter who's on him, no matter what the defense is, no matter what their call is, they are going to obviously give some attention to him.
You got to know where he is.
You got to know where he is every time on the field, and not having him on the field, if that winds up being the case, that is something that is going to hurt the Kansas City offense, not to the point to where they're not going to make the playoffs. Pat Mahomes is still not going to be one of the top-tier quarterbacks in the NFL, but it is going to hurt them from a standpoint of not being able to match the potency that they had last year.
Do you like any of the cornerbacks in this year's draft?
I like Greedy Williams, obviously LSU, big-time football. I'm not real high on a lot of those guys simply because, guys, is it something that I've learned throughout all my years of either being in college, being professional, or just simply being a fan now, is that it's so hard to gauge, because you see guys that go to the big name schools like the Ohio States, the Florida States, the LSUs. Well,
they must be good.
Yeah, they must be good because they go to the top programs. But also, let's go ahead and look at it like this. The SEC does not really produce a lot of receivers. Obviously, Julio Jones, Amari Cooper, AJ Green, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry. But the SEC does not have a plethora of great receivers on every team in the SEC. So if you're a good corner coming out of the SEC, it could just be because you got really good defensive linemen.
I mean, there's some really good receivers out there.
Yeah,
of the
I don't
SEC,
know if I'm
though.
Buying that. I don't know about all that.
Compare them to the other conferences.
It's
pretty, compared to the other
it's
conferences.
Pretty high. You got AJ Green, Amari Cooper. There's a lot of guys, man.
No.
Odell, Jarvis Landry.
Once we get past five or six, once we get past those five or six, compared to the other conferences.
Mike Evans
is pretty good.
Yeah, we do have to count him as SEC. I keep forgetting that.
That's right.
But what I'm saying is, but just team for team, player for player, and just year in and year out, the SEC is not known for producing upper echelon receivers all the time. Now, they've had a run over the last, let's say, 4 or 5 years. Yes, I definitely agree with that. But they are not known for always producing that. The SEC is more so known about defense. So if you see a corner coming out of there, let's go ahead and look at Maurice Claiborne. The Dallas Cowboys traded up to go get that guy. Mm-hmm. We all can remember that, correct?
That second round pick.
Exactly.
2012.
And then guess what? All of a sudden, he gets to the Dallas Cowboys. Guy's looking like he really can't cover, simply because he's been playing at LSU, where they have the top talent. They get the top players out of the state of Louisiana and other parts of the country. And guess what? He's playing with a ferocious pass rush. He's playing with an all-American safety and a honey badger, guys like that.
But even then, there's some dogs from there too, though, in the secondary.
Yes, exactly. But see, that's my point. You're playing around all of this talent, so everything's going to look good. Just let's go ahead and look at this. Who's the last good corner come out of Alabama?
The last good corner to come out of Alabama.
And actually be thought of as a good corner.
Yeah, you're talking about the safeties are easy to come
exactly.
up with.
A good corner. Not DB, a corner out of Alabama.
What?
A what?
Corner.
Corner. Name I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah.
But they have a first rounder damn near every year, and that's because of Nick Saban. That's because of that front four that's always getting after the quarterback, the linebackers, the safety. So all I'm basically saying is that it's gotten hard for me to actually judge corners because once they get to the NFL, it's a much different game from the college aspect.
I agree with you. It's hard as hell to grade them.
Real quick, yeah. I want to ask you about another corner in this that made news this week, and that is Jalen Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
The guy got torched for this not going to a voluntary workout. This must really piss off a lot of players.
We'll get Stanford's reaction to Jalen Ramsey getting called out for voluntary workouts. We're also going to look ahead to the draft because it's the day before. We're going to have you covered right here on Sports Radio 610.
You still mad because I was locking you up? All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.